Hello, I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church, and I welcome you to the fifth day, December 29th, in the 12 days of Christmas. The key word for today is obedience. The music is an adaptation of Cecil Francis Alexander's Carol for Children, Once in Royal David's City, published in 1848. Obedience is not a popular word in a culture obsessed with self-gratification. Obedience in the theological sense does not mean allegiance to the dictates of politicians, generals, or even bishops. Obedience means obedience to the will of God. In the church, there are no better models of obedience than the Blessed Saint Mary and the Blessed Saint Joseph. Scripture tells us that the Blessed Virgin was chosen by God owing to her virtuous life. Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, said the Archangel Gabriel when he appeared to her at Nazareth, from Luke 1:28. The time was in the sixth month after John the Baptist, the forerunner and last prophet of the Old Testament, was conceived in the womb of Mary's previously barren cousin, Elizabeth. The illustration for this and the next six slides is from a stained glass window in the AIC bookstore publication, Paintings on Light, the Stained Glass Windows of St. Joseph's Villa Chapel. Available in paperback at https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. Mary was understandably puzzled by this greeting. Gabriel reassured her, saying, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's Luke 1, verses 30 to 33. We can safely assume that Mary, raised in the Jewish household of her parents Joachim and Anne, knew that bearing a child not of that of her espoused husband might subject her to death by stoning, or at the very least to her rejection by her betrothed husband Joseph. Mary said to Gabriel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In Luke 1:34. And Gabriel explained, saying in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Gabriel, perhaps sensing her reservations, reminded Mary how her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in old age 6 months earlier, and then said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Mary heard this unqualified reminder that she should place all her faith in God without reservation, and she said to Gabriel in verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." The illustration for this and the next four slides is from a late 19th or early 20th century stained glass window, probably by Mayer of Munich or F.X. Zettler, who was Franz Mayer's son-in-law. Mary calls herself a maidservant of the Lord, meaning she has placed herself as subject in all things to his divine will and command without regard to risk of life, limb, or reputation without demanding further explanation or doubting, as did Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, when Gabriel visited him, reported in Luke 1:19-22. Mary afterward visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was carrying in her womb the unborn John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who was destined to prepare the way for Christ. And St. Luke tells us that at Mary's presence, the unborn infant John jumped in Elizabeth's womb. Thereafter, Elizabeth said in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary then sang the Magnificat, found in Luke 1, verses 46 to 55, the first of four songs in St. Luke's Gospel. The Magnificat is a variation on the themes of the Song of Hannah from 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. In Anglican worship, it is the first canticle in evening prayer. It begins this way: "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She went on to cite all that God had done for her and for the chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, and, quote, "to his seed forever," in the final verse. St. Joseph is our second model of obedience to the will of God. Where St. Luke's Gospel tells the nativity story from Mary's perspective, in St. Matthew's Gospel it is told more from Joseph's perspective. In Jewish practice, one was betrothed or espoused about a year before the marriage contract was completed with an actual ceremony. The news that Mary was filled with child about 6 months into the marriage contract and without sexual relations between them caused Joseph, though a just man, as Matthew calls him in chapter 1, verse 19, to reconsider. St. Matthew tells us that Joseph had no desire to make Mary a public example. He considered, quote, "putting her away secretly," which we should take to mean that instead of pursuing divorce on grounds of infidelity as the law allowed, he chose instead to keep the matter a secret. The artwork for this and the next three slides is a detail from a mid-19th century stained glass window in the National Shrine of St. Francis of Assisi in San Francisco. It was then that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. The angel reminded Joseph that this was the fulfillment of Isaiah's virgin birth prophecy from Isaiah 7, verse 14, in which the phrase Emmanuel is used. Emmanuel means God with us. The whole phrase in Matthew 1:23 is, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." We rely upon St. Matthew's text for an account of Joseph's obedience from Matthew 1:23. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." In St. Matthew's Gospel are three more examples of Joseph's obedience to the will of the Lord voiced through an angel. The first of these is Matthew 2:13, In his sleep, Joseph was visited by an angel who issued a warning, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." The illustration for this and the next slide is the scene as depicted in Dore's English Bible, a popular illustrated Bible in the late 19th century. Herod's destruction of the children of Jerusalem was discussed in the third day of Christmas on the theme of compassion. An obedient Joseph took the Holy Child and Saint Mary, his mother, and fled to Egypt. After the death of Herod, the angel came again in a dream, saying, as reported in Matthew 2:20, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel." And again, Joseph was obedient. The third and final example of Joseph's obedience to the will of the Lord comes as the result of another dream reported in Matthew 2:22, when St. Matthew writes that Joseph was, quote, "warned by God in a dream concerning the risk of coming under the control of Herod's son and successor, Archelaus, and that as a result, Joseph turned away from Jerusalem and went into the Galilee." The illustration is a 6th century Eastern Orthodox icon of St. Matthew holding his gospel. On January 1st, the 8th day of Christmas, we will celebrate another example of Mary's obedience, in this case to Mosaic law, demonstrated in her submission of her child Jesus to the Jewish ritual of circumcision. In the Anglican tradition, the event is commemorated in the hymn, "The Ancient Law Departs." On this, the 5th day of Christmas, December 29th, we remember that both Blessed Mary and Blessed Joseph, memorialized in a 19th century stained glass window at Basel Cathedral or Basel Minster, although they did not know or understand what the purpose of the Lord might be and what they were asked to do, nevertheless, they obeyed. Please join us for the 6th day, December 30th, when the key word is joy. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and use its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.